Good morning. Nice fresh Canberra morning. How many found it hard to get out of bed this morning? Is it just me? One of those days. Well, this morning we are in the midst of our series exploring the person and nature and purpose of the Holy Spirit. And today we are exploring the area of gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, time for a bit of a confession here from you. I'm always happy to hear people's confession. So, how many of you have watched, Britain's Got Talent?
No.
Two people. Britain's Got Talent.
No.
No? Okay, let's move on. So, it's a talent show. People bring all their different gifts and abilities from joke telling to singing to music to whatever it might be. And then there are four judges there who progress them whether they think they're worthy or not to continue on. And I guess the heart behind the show is to essentially unearth some of the hidden talent which just sits latent within our communities and give people an opportunity to platform those. Of course, there are those cringe-worthy ones that come on and go, yeah, that's not really a talent, even though you think it might be. To other people who have just, they would have never had the platform to be to reveal just how gifted they are in what they do. And so as we talk about the idea of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, some of that is also recognising that within us, God has placed talents and gifts for His glory and His purpose. And sometimes they're latent within us. We haven't necessarily brought them to the surface. If you've been a follower of Jesus for a little while, I would hope that you would have heard about receiving the Holy Spirit and also that there is the fruit of the Spirit within our lives, but that He also gives each of us gifts. So I'm going to give you a moment to have a bit of a chat to the person next to you, and the question that I have is what comes to mind when you hear the words spiritual gifts? Okay, so take a moment to have a chat to the person next to you. What comes to mind to you when you hear the words spiritual gifts?
There's a distinction between what are natural gifts and what are spiritual gifts. And they said, it's just the same, a time to tell.
I don't know if you need to listen to whether we actually just need to look together at all gifts.
Yeah.
To see that we can share those gifts in His name with others. I think for me, the key is that we use what gifts we've got for making others.
Yeah.
And if we do that under the leading of the Lord, I'm sure He uses them.
Yeah.
However we categorize them. I just find that
okay, you can continue those conversations a bit later on. That's right. I'm not looking to close it. You guys can continue those conversations over morning tea. But I suspect that as you've talked to one another, and if we get around and ask each sort of couple or three who are having a chat, that we might find that there are different understandings of what we think of when we think of spiritual gifts. And some of that will come about because of teaching we've received in the past. Some will come about through our own personal experience, positive or negative. And some of it will come about as we've read scriptures ourselves and come to our own understanding of that. But spiritual gifts are given to each of us. And today I want to focus on three things as we talk about spiritual gifts. The first is, who is entitled to receive the gifts of the Spirit? The second one is, why does the Holy Spirit give gifts? And third one is, how do we use our spiritual gift? So as we look at this, we notice that firstly, spiritual gifts are given to each of us. In our reading this morning, that was clear there. And it's important to notice that it does not say the gifts are given to some of us, but they're actually given to all of us. The gifts are given to men, the gifts are given to ladies. It's not one or the other. It's not that you get gifts when you're younger and that you don't have them when you're older. There are all sorts of reasons. There are all sorts of times when we, each of us, have gifts. each one gets a gift from the Spirit. And we need to remember this in our lives, that if we proclaim Christ, if we accepted Christ in our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we are given a gift. It's not like perhaps the Holy Spirit will give you a gift. It is the Spirit gives gifts to each of us. We need to remember that the Corinthian church as well, we need to understand the context here, was a church that was divided. There was an element of spiritual elitism that was happening in the life of the church, where some of the more obvious spiritual gifts were being elevated, and people were sort of taking spiritual pride, going, oh, look at the gift I've got. Clearly, I am more mature in my faith because of the gift I received. The truth is, Christian maturity doesn't actually play into the fact that we get spiritual gifts. The Spirit gives us gifts as he sees fit, and we need to remember that. So there were some in the Corinthian community who were belittling others in the church because they were going, well, my gift is more important than your gift. And I don't know if you noticed the opening words there from our reading. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities. So the Corinthian church had actually asked a question of Paul about spiritual gifts, and then this is his response to them. He's going back to them and going, you've asked a question, and this is the response. And he's saying that there is a quality around this about spiritual gifts. Paul is saying to the community, each has a spiritual gift, and it's to help know that the Spirit has gifted each person. This is why Paul is writing. He's wanting to remove that elitism, that stratification that was happening in their church culture, where some saw themselves better than others. And Paul's going, no, that's not how it is. Everyone has received a gift of the Spirit. As followers of Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives each of us gifts. Now, I want you to take a moment and reflect. How does it make you feel to know God sees you as someone worthy of receiving a spiritual gift? So just take a moment, let me say that again. How does it make you feel to know God sees you as someone worthy of receiving a spiritual gift? My hope for you is that as you consider that, is that there is an encouraging element to that. Oh, God sees me as someone worthy. The next point is, why does the Holy Spirit give gifts? Why does he do this? Is it so that we can each feel special because we received something from God? We might feel special because of this, but that's not the purpose of the gift. It's more a byproduct of what happens when we know that we received it because God is gifted me in a certain way. But it is so that we can know, is it to know that we might know who the spiritually mature are, because they will have certain gifts? Not at all. This was the problem in the Corinthian church, that some saw their spiritual gift as elevating them as more spiritually mature. But that's not what we see in Scripture at all. Some were waving their spiritual gift around like it made them more important than others, but that's not what they are for. It's in verse 7 that Paul says that each has been given a gift, and at the end of that verse he goes on to say, so that we can help each other. We're gifted for one another, not for ourselves. We need to recognize that the gifts we receive, any gift that I've received, is not just for my personal benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. And so that means that spiritual gifts are actually gifted to us so that we might be a blessing to others. This is a great example when we recognize this, that God actually wants us to partner with him and to partner with each other. None of us are designed to function purely on our own and in isolation. Now, some people are very competent and can do a great deal on their own, but that's not what God wants. He actually wants us to share the load together. He actually wants us to be to become codependent on one another, interdependent with each other. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you have worked on something with a group of people. Ever had that experience? Yeah. Some of you are nodding like it wasn't a fun experience. Sometimes that can be life-giving because you can achieve so much more. But sometimes it can work the other way, where group dynamics and all sorts of other factors sort of feed into it in such a way that it actually becomes a very negative experience. And sometimes we can walk away from that and go, it would just be easier if I did, if I was myself. You know, I never felt like that. Confession time again. Yeah. But that's not what we see in Scripture here. What Scripture calls us to do is actually to draw together, to work together for a common purpose. Later in the chapter in Corinthians, Paul talks about a church being like a body. The different parts are needed for the body to function, to fully function. We all know what it's like when we aren't running on all cylinders. A bit like a cold morning, isn't it, sometimes? And sometimes that can be through sickness or injury. We know what it feels like when the body isn't working together. The function of the body is reduced. We might get by, but we know it could be better. I like to run. In the cold mornings, it's not that much fun, but I like to run. And occasionally, I'll cop an injury, a strained muscle or a twist or something like that. And I know that if I try and run, it will only make it worse. Sometimes it needs to be seasoned for healing. And if I did run, it certainly wouldn't be at my best. And so I'm sure all of us can appreciate that there are times when the body, when one part isn't functioning properly, that it doesn't quite run at 100%. The body is meant to work together. Part of the reason we have spiritual gifts is so that we might help each other, that we would become a blessing to one another. In Genesis 12, we read these words as Abram is called. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others." The very call of God's people. Abraham is the father of the Israelites. He's called out of his land, and God says, "I will bless you." But he blesses Abraham so that he will be a blessing to others. It's always been the core of the call of God on his people. Not just to bless them for their own sake, that they might go, "Oh, aren't we doing well?" But they're actually blessed to be a blessing. Same is true for us. When we receive a spiritual gift and a blessing from God, it's so that we might be a blessing to others. They are not an end in themselves. I want you to take a moment now. And there are two things that I want you to consider. One is, when was the last time you felt like you were a blessing to someone? And the second one is, how do you think you can be a blessing to others? So the first one is, when was the last time you felt like you were a blessing to someone? And how do you think you can be a blessing to others? Firstly, we looked at who is entitled to receive gifts of the Spirit, and it is each of us who have placed our trust in Christ. The second one is, why does the Holy Spirit give gifts? It's so that we might serve one another, that our gifts are given for other people, and that we might be a blessing to others. And the final point is, how do we use our spiritual gifts? Well, to get a better idea of this one, there's a passage from Romans 12, and I think this was used recently within this community here. Romans 12, verse 6 says this: "In his grace, God has given us each different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, it's speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Simply put, we should use the gifts from the Spirit with joy, and we should do it well, to the best that we can. This also means not comparing your gift with someone else. We need to recognise that each of us have our gift that we are called to use. And when we are jealous of others, when we look at others and go, I wish I had what they had, we aren't really appreciating all that God has given us. Because the Spirit gives us the gift as he sees fit for us. And we need to recognise that. The Holy Spirit decides what gift we have. And it's up to each of us to use them to help each other, to be a blessing to others, and most importantly, to honour God with them. Now, I'm aware today that some of you might be thinking, I can't do anything for the kingdom. But let me ask you, are you able to help others? Are you able to encourage, to care? Are you able to lead? Are you able to serve? Are you able to be a blessing to others, to offer support, to pray, to give, to be kind, to be generous? There are ways we can each offer what God has gifted us with for his glory and his honour. And we also need to appreciate that at times we will receive the blessing of other people's gifts in our lives. And we need to be open to that side of it as well. Sometimes we can be fiercely independent. And it's one of the things that I've learned over the years in ministry that, you know, Ros and I, when we were first married, we weren't living close to our family, so we became a very tight unit, support, you know, encouraging one another and so forth. And I guess there was probably a little bit of pride within us. Whenever people would offer to help us, or it was, oh no, we're okay. You know, we were young, we were okay, we were doing all right. But at some point, I can't remember exactly when, I also recognised that every time I said that, I was denying someone the opportunity to use their gifts and provide ministry to us. And so there's a fine balance that Rose and I walk in that space of, you know, allowing people to minister to us as a family, but also recognising we have gifts to be able to minister to others. And sometimes when we put on the brave face and go, oh no, we're okay, we'll be right, sometimes we can be denying other people the opportunity to use their gifts in our lives. And there are times when we need to step up and we need to use our own gifts and our own abilities that God has placed within us for his glory, that we might be a blessing to one another, that we might encourage one another. And when we think about this, it's not just this community. This is, I look at Mosaic, I look at all of our communities. So how do we, as a community here, be a blessing to the bigger part of who we are as a church? How do we recognise our part to play in that? I want to take a moment to thank God for the Holy Spirit, for the gifts that he has given to each of us, and to consider ways in which we can still be a blessing to others, and how we have been blessed by others. And take a few moments to reflect on that, and then I'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here amongst us. thank you, Lord, that the gifts that are received through the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your wisdom as you give gifts as you see fit for your church, for your kingdom, for the things that are before us. And Jesus, we come humbly acknowledging your presence with us. That you've called us into a life-changing relationship with yourself. Lord, we recognize there are times where we fail to do all that you ask us to do. But Lord, we also recognize that your love for us does not diminish. That your grace is never ending. That your care and your desire for us goes beyond what we can imagine. Lord, I pray for each one here that you would increase their understanding of who they are in you, of the depth of love you have for them, for your desire for us to continue to grow in wisdom and faith and courage and grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name.